In Revelation chapter number 1, we're going to read the first three verses together. I'll start a message today that I probably won't finish, but the title of the message is God's Last Message, or God's Final Message to this world. God's final message to this world. What would God say to you and I today? I believe it's recorded here in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Notice, if you would, please, let's stand just a moment, if you would. If it's not too hard for you, if it's hard to get up and down, you stay seated. But we're going to read together verses 1 through down verse number 3. John, the writer of the Revelation, says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Would you see that in the last part of verse number 3, beloved? And would you read that with me? For the time is at hand. Heavenly Father, we need your help. We need your power. We need your great grace and great glory. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you might unctionize thy servant. Help us to preach with power this morning. Lord God, I pray that you guard every word that comes forth from these lips. May they not be in vain. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might use us today. I pray for the people that listen, those perhaps by internet, those that are listening by radio, those that are listening here in this building today. May the presence of Almighty God be felt. Lord God, we pray that you do a work in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for his sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. Beloved, I am not a date setter by no means. I do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming back. But there are some things that are happening now that point to me to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe today, my friend, as the prophecy found in the book of Joel and chapter number 2, verses 21 down through verse number 32, there's a prophecy there that prophesizes that in the latter days that his spirit would be poured out upon all flesh, and that the young men would see visions, the old men would dream dreams. He said that the moon would be turned into blood before the great day of the Lord Jesus. I believe, my friend, that there are some things that are happening in our world, in our country. You say, preacher, you look around, you see the awfulness and the debauchery. You see how our country is going down the tube. I do. But I also see some things happening in the avenues of the Lord. Right now in Burlington, some of you may have read about it. Joanne and myself were talking about it this morning. She mentioned that Brother Jimmy, her son, had gone up on Friday to help set the tent up. The last 5 weeks, there's been a revival breaking out in Burlington. It started at Brother Randy Hobbs' church. C.T. Townsend came to preach a 3-day meeting. That 3-day meeting has now turned into a 5-week meeting. And the crowds have grown into 800, 900 people. There's been somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 people saved in the last few weeks. Now they've got a tent set up on Interstate 40 right beside of the Toyota dealership right there off exit 140 in Burlington. That'll seat 3,500 people. 40-some churches have gone together, and they're praying for revival. Things are happening. As Brother Jimmy said on Friday when they gathered to set the tent up, two precious young men at different points in time got saved just on that property where the power of God is. Friend, let me tell you something about that. I want to get in on something like that. Amen. I mean, listen, you say, I heard some folks say, hey, we hope it comes down this way. I told Sister Joanne, I know how it's going to come down this way. You know how you transfer fire from a big fire down to a little fire? You get some kindling, and you light that kindling, and you carry that kindling down, and you get it started at another location. Would to God there be some of us. There's some folk down inside our city. They're going up there. They're seeing God work. They're seeing folks get saved. I want some of us to get on board with this thing. I want to see God work. I want to see revival. Amen. I don't care if it's in Burlington. I don't care if it's inside our city. I don't care if it's in Ramshire. I don't care if it's
in Raleigh. I want to see revival. Say amen. We need the power of God once again. How many of you got lost loved ones? Raise your hand. Come on now. You got lost loved ones. We need to do all we can do today to get them under the sound of the gospel. There's a revival going on in Burlington. There's a revival going on in West Virginia. Going into its eighth week. Brother Cody Zorn has been there. Hundreds have been saved in that revival. Down at that tent meeting where I was just at 2 weeks ago. On a Friday night, Dr. Phil Kidd preached. I was there on Sunday 2 weeks ago. Dr. Kidd preached on a Friday night. 30 people walked forward, got saved in that one meeting. Fred, I want to tell you something. The day that we were there, no bragging on me. It's not about a man. Hey, man. It's not about a preacher. It's not about a singer. It's about Jesus. Say amen. It's not what we can do. It's not what we can conquer. But it's the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Gave that invitation on Sunday night. Eric and Laura were there. Power of God fell on that place, son. Y'all know the size of our tent, 60-foot diameter. I mean, some folks flooded that altar that night. I had to go to the center pole. That's how many people came that night. 250 or so people underneath that tent. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. God is moving. I want to tell you something. God is moving. Look in your Bible. And he says there, for the time is at hand. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I believe, honey, these things are about ready to shut them down. I believe one of these days it won't be long before the rapture, before the trumpet of God's going to sound, the dead's going to be raised, and the living's going to be changed. We're going to leave this world and all of its sin, all of its debauchery, all of its lewdness, all of its immorality. The saints of God are it out one of these days. I don't know about y'all, but I can't wait. I just, listen, I'm ready to go. It wouldn't bother me today if we didn't eat lunch. I'd just go from here. Say amen. In the book of Revelation, quickly this morning, I want to start this. John here, the Bible says, is the writer of the revelation. Notice in verse 1, not the revelation of John, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. There are five things that John had a vision of. As time permits, we'll get into those things. But I want to see here in chapter number 1, the Bible said that here is the revelation of Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that, preacher? The revelation is the unveiling. It is the unfolding. It is not, my friend, the rapture. The rapture is something other than the revelation. The revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. As much like an actor would come out into a stage area, there'd be a curtain that'd be drawn, and the curtain would go back, and the actors would come up on stage and reveal them. So is the book of Revelation. It is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something as we read these verses here. The Bible tells us about this man by the name of John. He is John the Beloved. He is John the Apostle. He is the one that leaned on the bosom of Jesus. He is the same one that wrote the Gospel of John. He is the same one that wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He is the one that wrote the book of Revelation. And God said to him, John, I'm going to show you the things that are. I'm going to show you the things that's going to happen. John, I want you to write them down in a book. Now I want you to send them out. I want the people to read about it. Some folk today say, hey, you shouldn't read the book of Revelation. It's too hard. It's too difficult. You can't understand it, friend. God didn't say you had to understand all of it. He said just read it and you'll get a blessing out of it. Look in verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. How many of you want to be blessed of the Lord? Amen. Well then, friend, read the book of the Revelation. Listen to the book of the Revelation. Hear the prophecy of the book of the Revelation. Now you say, preacher, what about this man John? Where was he? The Bible tells us here he was on a lonely Isle of Patmos. Look in verse number 9. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Why was he there? Was he some murderer? Was he some thief? No, sir. The Bible tells us in verse number 9 why John was there. John was in Patmos. It was a prison colony.
It was a penal colony. It was a mine where they mined rocks and stones, and the Roman Empire sent him over there with all these prisoners. Why was he there? Verse 9, he tells us, first of all, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Friend, may I say to you today that it may come down to the point that you and I will suffer for the word of God. It may come down to the point that they'll say, you'll not be able to read that Bible of yours. Today, many folks don't believe in this old-fashioned book. May I say to you today, I'm still an old King James man. I've been that way, will always be that way until I die. I believe in the old-fashioned books. Amen. But then second of all, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why John was there. You know, today you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about Allah, you can talk about all these other religions, and folk won't bat an eye. But when you start talking about Jesus, all of a sudden that ruffles the feathers of a lot of people. I saw, and y'all may take issue with me, but just listen. I saw on the news yesterday and the day before where Muhammad Ali went out into eternity. 74 years of age. I told my wife last night, and I listen, y'all just go ahead and throw the rocks if you want to. But I said, isn't it amazing that they can glorify a draft dodger? Isn't it amazing they can glorify a man that took his gold medal and threw it into the river? Isn't it amazing that they can glorify a man like that? You say, preacher, he was the greatest. Friend, I disagree with you right there. The only greatest one was the Lord Jesus Christ. But in 1964, I believe it was, Cassius Clay walked out, held up a newspaper. He denounced Christianity, and in that paper, you can have a picture of it. It's on the internet, and you want to look at it. But it said, Allah is God. Honey, I want to tell you something. If he died believing that Allah is God, I do not believe he's in heaven today. For you see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. And friend, let me tell you something. You believe in Allah? Hey, let me tell you, all those that believe in some other God are going to wear down to the devil's hell. They're not going to heaven. It's only through the testimony of Jesus we're saved. Don't matter what celebrity it is. Don't matter what movie star it is. Don't matter what president it is. Don't matter what Republican or Democrat it is. Honey, it's by the blood of Jesus that we're saved and going to heaven. And we ought to rejoice in that fact. And thank God, the testimony of Jesus. But now notice something about that. Here John said, I was in the Isle of Patmos. And notice what he said here. The key verse in verse number 19. Look in verse number 19. For he says in verse number 19, he said, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. You say, preacher, what did John write about? The Spirit of God told him, first of all, to write about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, today we need in our churches today to preach about Jesus. Hey, listen to me. We need to uplift that name of Jesus instead of social issues, instead of political problems. Let's talk about Jesus. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of Glory. Let's magnify the name of Jesus today. And he spoke of the person of Jesus. But then second of all, he wrote about the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Turn with me, please. Turn over there to the last chapter in the book of Revelation. Chapter number 22. Watch this, if you would, please. Rustle the pages. If you're not turning, just make me think that you are. All right? Chapter number 22. Verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and the other side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. His name shall be in their forehead. And he says, there'll be no night there, no need of a candle in verse number 5, no need of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Do y'all believe that? Come on, help me out, church. Do you believe that? The last chapter talks about one day we'll be at the throne of God. We'll see him face to face. There'll not need any need of a candle, no light, no sun, no moon, no stars, for he is the light. We're going to heaven. We're going to the celestial city of God. We're saved by the God's grace. We're redeemed. Thank God. I read the last chapter in the book, and it all turns out fine for you and me. But I also read about the unsaved. Hey, listen, you say, well, preacher, what's that? Oh, well, listen, it upsets me. It gets under my craw. I mean, listen, it irritates me to no end to see all this garbage today, to see all this junk today. What bathroom you going to use? Friend, the nature itself teaches you something. Say amen. But we got folk today, they're making a big deal. They're making a big deal. Hey, listen. We've got ISIS over yonder chopping the heads off of Christians. Yes, sir, buddy. Not only Christians, but women and babies. Don't, I mean, listen, some of that stuff, it just turn your stomach. We've got a man sitting up yonder in the White House who is a devout Muslim. You can say whatever you want to, but honey, he's done more to destroy this country than any other man that's sitting. I don't care if he's Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent. I don't care what he is. Honey, I want to tell you something. This country's in a mess. But I've read the last chapter of the book, and thank God we're on the winning side. We're going to come out all right. We're going to heaven. We're going to live forever. Amen. But what's God's last message to this planet Earth? What's God's last message to mankind? There are five things that John saw. Number one, my time's about gone. I'll give you one or two of them. Write them down, if you would, please. John saw the vision. Now, all these start with the letter H. John saw the vision of the Holy One. Go back with me, chapter number 1 of the book of Revelation. He's on the Isle of Patmos. And John said, I was in the Spirit. I want to show you something. Oh, it's going to get good here in just a second. All right. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Look in verse number 10. Just so you don't think I didn't make this up. John said, I was in the Spirit. Read this with me. On when? I can't hear you. Say it again. When is the Lord's day? Well, every day. But what day do we worship the Lord? Sunday. I believe that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Friend, I want to tell you something. I believe this. Children of God ought to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day, if at all possible. Say amen. Amen. I got half of you on that one. I listen. Can I tell you something? I guarantee you one thing. If we were to load up that little bus out yonder, and if we were to go up yonder to Universal Healthcare, and if we'd walk in yonder and we'd say, listen, we'll trade places with you if we could. We'll let you go down yonder to church, and we'll come in here and we'll lay in your bed. We'll eat your food. We'll walk with your walker. There's probably not a one of them in there that wouldn't trade places with us. But friend, let me tell you something. There may come a day that you and I would be in a place like that. We ought to try to be in the house of the Lord every time the doors are open. Say amen. You say, preacher, you was gone last week. I know when I missed it. Amen. I missed it. I mean, I felt like a fish out of water. No pun intended, but I did. Amen. I want to be where God's at. I want to be where God's people's at. I want to serve the Lord. Hey, I miss preaching. I don't know about y'all, but I missed it. I missed me preaching. Amen. Glory to God. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now watch what he said. and he saw the vision of the Holy One. This is the only place in all the Bible that we get a glimpse of what Jesus really looks like. I'm going to burst your bubble right here. But friend, Jesus is not some emaciated, wimpy looking fella with long hair down to his back. He's not some fella that was just all crimpled up and all white-faced and just emaciated and looked like he had one of them survivors out of the Holocaust. No, sir, friend. He was a man. Amen. And thank God. And here you find the only glimpse of what he looks like. Look what he said. Verse 19. He said he had hair as white as snow. He had eyes like a flame of fire. Those eyes can penetrate. Those eyes can see. Those eyes see the motives of your heart. Those eyes can see the secretness of your life. Those eyes can go where you cannot go. Those eyes can see things that I cannot see. And God knows everything there is to know about us. But then he said he had feet like brass. Anybody in here know what brass in the Bible speaks of? Say it out loud if you do. Judgment. He said he had feet like brass. And friend, my God's a loving God. My God sent Jesus to die on Calvary. But one day, he will judge mankind. You can get away with it down here, but you'll not get away with it up yonder. He had feet like brass. Had a garment of light wrapped around him. And my friend, that's the only vision of the Holy One that he saw. But notice where he was. Where did John say that he was? In verse number 19, he said, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things that shall be. He said there, I've been walking through the midst of the seven churches. In verse number 20, he is in the midst of the seven churches. And friend, can I tell you today, in 2016, in June of 2016, the place that Jesus needs to be is in our churches. He needs to be in our homes. He needs to be in our lives. He doesn't need to be on the outside trying to get in. He needs to be on the inside. But how many churches today have negated the Holy Spirit of God? How many churches today have barred the Holy Spirit of God? How many today, Jesus is a stranger to the church today? Hear me out. How many churches today become nothing more than a social club? By the way, why do we exist? Why does Harmony Baptist Church exist? It is not, my friend, to exist so that we can have a good time. It is not to exist so that we can have bingo. It is not to exist so that we can have a woman sewing circle. It's not to exist, my friend, but for one reason and one reason alone, and that's to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But so many churches today have now become nothing more than a social club. They meet, they greet, they go out, and nothing ever changes. They make themselves feel good about it. Friend, listen, Jesus needs to be in the church today. You say, how is he in the church when he's in you? He's in the church. He doesn't dwell in these walls. But when saints of God, filled with the Holy Ghost of God, come into the house of God, he inhabits the praise of his people. When's the last time you just said, Lord, I love you? When's the last time you said, Jesus, thank you for dying for me? When's the last time that you said, Lord, I just want to pull on up next to you and say, thank you for all your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, I got shoes on my feet. I got food in my belly. Last night when that storm come through, I don't know if it come through down here. I saw it in Liberty. It come through there. Tree limbs blow down and leaves blow down. My wife and I had laid down. And all of a sudden that wind picked up. It blew 40, 50 mile an hour, they say. Thank God our little house stood firm. I want to tell you something, fool. God's been good to you. God's been good to me. I thought about the other day, I'm not bragging a bit. I'm just, listen, you always think I'm a rich man. I'm rich in Jesus. Hallelujah. God took care of us. Praise God. Praise his holy name. He watched over us while we were gone. Somebody a while ago said, you didn't have a flat tire, did you? I said, I did when I got back. He said, I meant on the ship. I said, no, we didn't have one on the ship. But
passed over. They got that thing on the TV screen. Tells you how deep the water is and everything. 9,000 and some feet deep. You know what I thought about? I didn't think about swimming. Glory to God. I didn't think about trying to get off that boat. You know what I thought about? Down yonder, that's where my sins are. They're in the depths of the seas. Amen! Amen. Thank God when He died on Calvary and He took my sin upon Him. He said He buried Him in the depths of the sea. Hallelujah! Down yonder, 9,000 some feet in that water. Ah, the sins of Frank Thacker, glory to God, never to be remembered again. There ain't no diver going down yonder going to get them. There ain't nobody going to retrieve them. They're buried in the depths of the sea. The Holy One. Notice something. John saw the glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God. His face did outshine the sun. His countenance was at raiment. But then also, John saw the sovereign Savior. What do you mean by that, preacher? Sovereign mean above all others, there's none like Him. I want to show you something. I'll be done this part. Look, if you would please, back there in chapter number 1. John saw the Lord Jesus Christ. John began to talk with Him, and he said in verse number 15, His feet were like fine brass burned in a furnace, voice like many waters. And then in verse 17, what I want you to see this morning. And John said, when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though I was dead. And he laid His right hand on me. And he said, John, you don't need to fear. John, I'm the same one that you laid your head upon my breast. I'm the same one that hung on Calvary for you. I'm the same one that gave you honeycomb and fish. After I resurrected John, I am He that was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. Glory to God. Can I tell you something, friend? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next week holds. Maybe sunshine or shadows. Maybe sorrow or pain. Maybe it might be good or bad. I do not know what holds tomorrow. But I know the One that holds tomorrow. And I know that He holds my hand. I am He that was dead. And now I'm alive. And not just alive for now. I'm alive forevermore. Hey, you're looking at a preacher that will never die. Son, you may put this old physical body to death. But if you do, I'll be more alive than I ever have been. Yeah. That's just a time while ago. Bob Brown went out to meet the Lord this week. She said, He's doing fine. I guarantee you He is. He's free from pain. He's free from cancer. He's free from suffering. He don't have to worry about any more radiation treatments. He don't have to worry about any more chemotherapy. Oh, by the way, some of you are not here Wednesday night. I got to share this. It's Jonathan, he just blessed my heart. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not just fooling you now. We've been praying for Mary Brown. She's been on that prayer list. Over 2 months ago, they diagnosed Mary Brown with stage 3 lung cancer. She was taking radiation chemo.
They took her up yonder and she drank a Pepsi and aspirated and went down her lungs. They rushed her over and put her on life support. When I walked in there and saw her, the doctor was in there. She did not look like she was going to make it. In fact, they called the family and said, this looks like it might be it. She came through that. Then she got out of the hospital and they sent her up here to Universal Healthcare. And they said, we're going to try to make you get stronger so we can get that chemotherapy started again. She's been up there 2 months now. Are y'all still with me? Are y'all listening? They took her this past week to do a PET scan, I guess it was.
Y'all know what a PET scan is? How many of you know what it is? Raise your hand. That's where they check you from top of your head to the sole of your feet to see if there's any cancer. Do you know what they come back and said? Huh? They said, cancer free. She hadn't had no chemo in 2 months. She hadn't had no radiation in 2 months.
I'm on the winning side. I know how it works now. I want to say something.